I don't know how people really know this, but I do not know how to swim. I do not know how to swim. The very best of people tried to teach me, and it was a lost cause. I still remember I was a youth minister for about 15 years, and we did a lot of crazy things. I've been whitewater rafting, been all these crazy things, canoeing, all these, wearing a life jacket and praying that nothing really happens. But you know, when I would go to the beach and things like that, I would always try to stay in the shallow water. You know, I go out to the beach, I'd wade in the water, I'd get out a little ways, but I'd always go just stay in the shallow water. Never go out too deep, you know. Sometimes I'd go out deep when I was a kid and push in the envelope as much as I could, and my parents would be frantically calling me back. But you know, when some kids go around waters, especially if they don't know how to swim, a lot of times they'll stay in the shallow waters. And I want to kind of expand on that here this morning and talk about someone in the Bible. You know, as we look, and one of my favorite characters of all time is Peter. Peter sometimes he was just outspoken by nature. He was awkward. He was even clumsy. He was honest. He was quick. He made quick turnarounds. And his willingness to admit when he failed, when he was wrong. And I just love reading stories about him in the Bible. But perhaps the thing that I like most about Peter is that he was a fisherman. I remember as a kid, I used to love fishing. And again, I was around water by myself, not able to swim. Probably couldn't get myself out of the water. But I liked fishing, and I liked being around fishermen. I like listening to fishermen's stories. So part of the reason that I'm attracted to Peter is that he was a fisherman. And the story about the Peter that's most successful day in the water, fishing-wise, though it started out a failure, his story ended up being a great success. If you want to follow with me today, I'm going to be reading to you from Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. There's Bibles in the pews in front of you. I'm also going to project the words up here on the screen here this morning. And I'd like us to start today by reading this together. It's found in Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. This is what it says. And it came about that while the multitude was pressing around him, and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the multitudes from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But at your bidding, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break, and they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. So also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who are partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear, for now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. It looks to me like the events described here probably took place in the morning. As Luke mentioned Peter's words about the fishermen having fished all night and caught nothing, Jesus was teaching near the shore of Gennesaret, or what we call the Sea of Galilee. The crowd listening to him, perhaps in an effort to hear him, began to press up against him, pushing him towards the water because they wanted to hear what Jesus was talking about. Jesus spotted a couple of empty fishing boats pulled up in the shallows. Fishermen who owned them were nearby, washing their nets and probably themselves listening to what Jesus was saying to the crowd. The Lord stepped into the boat, one of those boats, and that belonged to Simon Peter, and asked this big, burly fisherman to push him out a little ways. Simon dutifully laid aside his nets and did what Jesus asked. Besides providing little breathing room from the encroachment of the crowd, this probably was a great way for Jesus to be heard by the people on the shore. And most fishermen knew that because being on the water would project his voice across the water. Jesus was already acquainted with Peter. He and his brother Andrew had been disciples of John the Baptist, and they began to follow Jesus once John had introduced him as the Lamb of God. So they were already followers, yet not to an extent in which they would ultimately follow him. In fact, this event would move Peter and his fishing companions into a level of commitment to Jesus that would be deeper than anything they had yet known, which we will point out as we continue talking here today. But I'm getting ahead of myself. An interesting thing to note is about this passage is that Luke does not tell us what Jesus taught at this time. He does not tell us what Jesus was preaching on in this occasion. That is because it is what happened after Jesus' sermon that Luke really wants his readers to see here. What he wants his readers to know. According to verse 4, when Jesus had finished speaking, he issued a request to Peter. And he said, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." To those of us who have read the story before and know what Jesus was about to do, this request probably seems pretty reasonable because we know the end of the story. But to these fishermen, these seasoned veterans of the water, here sitting on that shore that morning, I can tell you that Jesus, this teacher, this rabbi, telling them to put out into deep water, put out into the water in the morning, probably seemed very laughable. It would be like a total novice of professional fishermen, a total novice trying to tell a professional fisherman how he is supposed to catch fish with a straight face, giving advice on that is dead wrong for the conditions. And the fisherman, the professional fisherman, knows that this advice is dead wrong. The sun rises higher in the day. The fish have no eyelids. They sink deeper into the water. This was not the time of day to catch fish. For Peter and his blurry-eyed fishing partners, already up all night and probably very, very, very tired, and they caught nothing. They were skunked out of any type of fish. Peter's response seemed appropriate. Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. We didn't even catch fish during the productive hours. What do you think we're going to be able to do now? Peter was a professional fisherman and who was dialed into the local conditions. Even today, if we were fishing with a guide and the guide would call and says, "Listen, don't come out today. The fish aren't biting. You're going to waste your time, waste your money. Don't come." We probably would listen to him unless you just want to burn your money. He knows his business. But there was a measure of respect that Peter gave here. He gave this to Jesus by this time. So quickly, he followed it with these words, "But at your bidding, I will let down the nets." I can imagine the other fishermen probably rolling their eyes at Peter's words. So nets were loaded back into Peter's boat. His little crew of two, himself and his brother Andrew, rowed out in the sight of all, feeling ridiculous, no doubt, about what they're about to do until they get into the deep waters a little ways offshore. I can imagine Peter and Andrew muttering under their breath as they rowed out, the gawking onlookers chattering among themselves, laughing and pointing out there at Peter and what he's doing. Probably the only one on the lake. Everyone is probably looking out at him because this is just the wrong time of day. Others down the shoreline who owned some of the 230 boats that worked the lake probably laid aside their nets to watch this crazy Peter and what he's about to do. Of course, Peter had not yet realized, none of them had, that the one on the shore who had given this command, though he wasn't a professional fisherman, he was the master of the fish and lakes and land and fishermen, and he knew what mattered. Over the side with the nets, I can't imagine that there was much enthusiasm in Peter as he threw the net over the edge of the boat. He probably did it kind of slowly, flipping it over, realizing that he's probably not going to catch anything. Peter was feeling like a fool. Jesus may have been a remarkable speaker, but his fishing knowledge was all wrong. They waited, and then suddenly the lines, the nets went tight. The boat listed to one side with a huge volume of fish was encompassed. Peter quickly assessed the situation. It was like nothing that he ever seen before. He was totally unprepared for this. So strong it was the pull on that one side of the boat, he thought it was going to rip the nets apart. In an instant, Peter was on his feet in the boat, and he's shouting and waving for his partners to come over to help. James and John came to their aid. Soon, with the other boats alongside, they hauled in the catch, and their fish were everywhere. Both of the boats were just filled to capacity, maybe even in the danger of sinking. Back offshore, probably, Simon Peter came up to Jesus, and he fell down at Jesus' feet. He's ashamed of his doubt, and he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Peter was overwhelmed with a sense of unworthiness before the one who possessed such great power. He felt utterly embarrassed and deflated in the realization that he was so confidently brushed aside, this one who commanded the elements of the world. Peter had thought he knew Jesus. Now he realizes that he didn't know him at all. It wouldn't be the last time that Peter had to back up and admit that he was wrong. Peter waited to hear Jesus' footsteps along, walking away from him in disgust. Instead, the now humbled fisherman heard these words, "Do not fear, for now on you will be catching men." Luke reports something very important to us in the final verses of this account. He says, "When they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him." Because of that, because of what these men witnessed that day, they realized that there was something much greater to live for than just their fishing careers. Jesus' words to Peter, "Put out into the deep water," are significant words. They challenged Peter to step beyond the comfortable level of human wisdom and understanding into the realm of extraordinary faith and risk and uncertainty. As a result, when this event was over, he and his companions stepped into a level of relationship with Jesus that they hadn't known they existed. The phrase, "they left everything and followed him," means that they left their fishing business. They left their comfortable, familiar livelihoods behind him and put out into the deeper waters of faith. So what does all this have to do with you and me here this morning? I believe that there are parallels for us in this concept of putting out into the deep water. The first things I would like to point out to you here this morning is this. There are deeps and shallows in life. See, until the time Peter knew, all that Peter knew were the shallows. He had a business. He had business partners. He was married. He may have had a family. We don't know exactly, but he probably owned a home in Capernaum. He was living a normal, comfortable, ordinary life. No one would condemn him for that. He was even a follower of Christ to a certain extent, having followed Jesus when Jesus announced that he was the Lamb of God, as mentioned earlier. But after he left John to follow Jesus, he had returned to his fishing. A deeper level of commitment was something that hadn't occurred to him. Christ knew Peter was capable of more. He knew he could be a fisher of men. Peter didn't know this yet. So had someone told the big fisherman that someday he would use the keys of the kingdom to usher in thousands and thousands of people into the church who would respond to his preaching, I doubt he would even have believed it at this point. But the Lord knew. He had great plans for Peter that would take him out into deep waters where great things are accomplished for God. And it was on this day that Jesus beckoned him to put out into the deep water that started him on the course. There are deeps and there are shallows in life for all of us. By shallows, I refer to everyday, ordinary things that we must do just to exist. See, they are common things, comfortable things, familiar things, practical and relatively safe things, like getting up each morning and going to work, owning a home, earning a living, paying the bills, coming home at night to rest and getting up the next morning to start all over again. Things like buying the groceries, cooking the food, painting the house, changing the oil in the car, tending to the yard, picking the kids up from school. Things like balancing the checkbook and doing the shopping and then doing it all over again. For many, there is getting an education, advancing in a career, moving up the ladder, getting ahead in life, perhaps starting a business, making a profit, establishing some investments. It isn't that these things are unimportant. They aren't evil. It's just that they are the shallows of life. They don't stretch our faith. They don't challenge us. In fact, even unbelievers do these very things, many of them quite well. We could say that they don't require much faith at all. Peter and his partners were in the shallows of life, and the Lord was beckoning them to move out into the deeper waters of faith. Had they continued only at the level that they attained, they would have died as fishers of fish, and they would never have been fishers of men. See, they would never have been apostles of Christ, of Jesus, and if they had not done what Jesus wanted them to be. So when the Lord challenged Peter that day to put out into the deeper water, he was concerned about much more than just a net full of fish. Deeper water was on his mind, deeper than even the deepest recess of Gennesaret. And that's where we'll come into this picture. I believe that the Lord beckons us all into the deeper water. My friends, there's more to life than just getting up and going to work each day. There's more to life than obtaining a comfortable lifestyle. There is more to life than a career advancement and financial success and the gold watch that we might receive at retirement. So, are we supposed to all become apostles, we might ask? No, that role reserved just for a few back with Jesus. But I can't help to believe that God wants us to do more with our lives than just to attain a level of comfort in this life and then die. I can't help but believe that He wants us to apply our talents appropriately to further our relationship with Him and His cause in this world. There are greater things He beckons us to when He challenges us to put out into the deeper water. See, I could never do anything really great for God, you might say. Really? How would you know if you never leave the shallows? See, Peter and his partners had no idea where the choice to leave all behind would and follow Christ would lead, but that's the deal with deep water. You have a little idea with it, what it's like. Looking from the shallows, the deep water always seemed intimidating. I still remember my brother. He didn't know how to swim either. And we would go to Dallas every single year. We'd go to Dallas Christian College, we'd stay there, and we'd do all types of things. There was this great pool there. And you could go there and you could swim. And since we were instructed, since we didn't know how to swim, what we were supposed to do was stay in the shallow end of the pool. And that was what we were doing. We were there for a little while, and I looked up, and I can't find Don. What they do have there is three diving boards. There's a little one, then there's a medium one, and then there's a really tall one. And you wouldn't believe, I looked up at the tall one, and there's my brother, who cannot swim, about to jump off. And I'm screaming, trying to get his attention, don't do it. And guess what? He jumps right in. Can't swim, but he could get close enough to the edge. He dived so he could move himself right to the edge. He jumped out into the deeper water. I would never do that. But he did. And sometimes we need to dive out into those deeper waters because that is exactly what God is calling us to. We can play it safe like I was, staying in the shallows, and we can do that in our own lives. But sometimes we need to jump out into the deeper water because that's where God has plans for us. That's where our faith is going to lead us. So how do we do this? How do we put out into the deep water with the things of God? Let me just share with you a few ideas. First things we can put out in the deeper waters in our worship. By this, I mean that we can make a conscious effort to commune with God when we assemble here. In my opinion, worship today in many places has been sidetracked. It becomes very shallow. And we cannot allow our worship to be shallow. You know, we can come and we can go through the motions every Sunday. Whether the style of music is all contemporary, all traditional, or a mixture of the two, we can come every Sunday and we can go through the motions of singing those words every week. And we can move our mouths, we can do that, we can stand there and just listen. But we can do that every week. Or we can choose to commune with our God. Come before Him and worship Him. You think God is satisfied when we come to worship and we don't do anything? We're not trying to have a relationship with Him. We're not trying to glorify Him. That is not moving into the deep waters. If you want to stay in the shallows, just stay in the shallow end down there and just go through the motions. Or don't come to worship at all. But if you want to go into the deeper waters, then you need to come and you need to worship. You need to serve your living God. You need to sing to Him. You need to listen to the words you're singing. It is spectacular when we come as a corporate body and we worship our Lord. In the Old Testament, we read words about the worship of Israel. Sometimes God was just totally put out with them. And he was so disgusted with them. He says, I don't even want your worship. I don't want your sacrifices. I don't want you to come to my altar. Because I want obedience. I want changed hearts. And that is what God wants. Because when we come together and we worship Him and we have those hearts that come before Him and to worship Him as us, the Old Testament says, it is a sweet aroma to our God. And He desires that from us here at Babcock Road Christian Church. True worship cannot be attained by those who do not know God and those who are only focused on themselves. We would do well to put out in deep water in our worship. We can also put out in deep water in our conversation. See, we talk about so many things. We talk about the weather. We talk about sports. We talk about politics. We talk about our hobbies, our interests. We talk about all these different things. We talk about other people. Most of the talk concerns only the transience of things, things that don't really last, things that are going to pass away. And they have no real meaning a day or two from that day. They'd have nothing in association with eternity. Putting out the deep water in our conversation involves engaging one another about things of greater significance. How often do we ask, how are you doing, without really expecting an answer when we ask, how are you doing? See, if someone really answered, we'd be shocked. You wouldn't know what to say. What if you took the time with someone and asked how and she is really doing, and don't be surprised when they start telling you? See, I realize we cannot have deep conversations with everyone, but does that mean that we should never have deep conversations with anyone? See, often such deep conversations among Christians can only be experienced with someone of like faith. That's why we need one another. That's why we need the church. That's why we need to gather together and not forsake the gathering of ourselves together. So why are we here? Some of the questions we ought to be asking each other. Where are we going? How do we get there? How are we doing? What is important to us? What is important to God? How can we better serve Him? Those are the questions we should be sharing and asking each other. Such conversation is much deeper talk than a quick, how are you doing? Or review the latest baseball scores. To have it, we need to build deeper relationships of trust with one another and avail ourselves to one another. So we can put out in deeper waters in our conversations. We also can put out in deeper waters with our relationships with others. You and I were to sit down and write a list of the people we have contact with in a typical week, how many would we discover with whom we have more than a casual relationship? See, there's the mailman, there's the person that I see who checks me out at the grocery store, there's the person who cuts my hair. There's the gas station attendant. There's the child school teacher. There's associates at the place I work. We speak to them and these and others like them, but our relationship with them is shallow at best. See, it can be that way with our Christian brethren as well. On any given Sunday, I see two kinds of people in the service. You know, some that come and that engage, and others that come and just go and go to the other parts of their lives. But we need to put out in the deeper water in our care for one another and spend time knowing each other and spending time with each other. We also can put out in the deeper water exactly what we've been talking about over these last few weeks, and that is in our prayer. You know, we don't need to be have the shallow preaching, our shallow praying. And it's epidemic. A quick thank you at our meals, a quick thank you, God, please forgive me of my sins, and Lord, please bless all those or help all those that are sick. And we don't go much deeper than that. To linger long in prayer is to stay at it until our sins are confessed, and that we know the wrong attitudes that we have, when we acknowledge that, and we know we need to get rid of it, and we are persistent in prayer. But it's hard to have time to pray, someone says. The creator of the universe has invited us to come to him and talk to him. Do you realize we have this privilege that most of the people before the time of Christ did not have? They had to go to the temple. They had to go to the priest. We have ability to go straight to the throne room of God ourselves. And we need to move deeper in our relationship by spending more time in prayer. And we also can put in the deeper waters in our Bible study. It must be embarrassing to have been in the church for a long, long time and not know very much about the Word of God at all. See, if this book is our lifeline, if this is what we believe and we're going to follow, then we are to study it and become familiar with it. Yet, such familiarity does not come without effort, and it becomes more apparent each year that few are willing to really put forth the effort to really study it. That's why we have Bible studies throughout the week. That's why we have Bible study tonight at 5 o'clock and Wednesday night at 7:30. We go and we study books of the Bible. We learn what we need to do, how we apply that. We go in much more depth and detail than we do that we can even here on a Sunday morning. And then we also can put out into deeper water with our love and concern for our fellow man. There are needy people all around us. So many that it is very easy for us to just tune them out. We're busy with our own lives. We don't have time. Said another way, we focus on self. Sorry, but that's the truth. It's the truth for me, and I'm sure it's the truth for you. See, I could do much more than I do in this area. Putting out in the deep water in this area might mean taking time to help someone older than yourself. There are other people all around us who live lonely lives. They've outlived their friends, perhaps, or maybe they can't keep up with the social interaction anymore. Could you brighten up an older person's life? Is that deep water for you? Maybe you need to come and join us on Thursday, the service that we have once a month, where we go and spend time at our nursing home, where we try to get involved in other people's lives. On the other end, there are children everywhere being raised without fathers or mothers or both. Divorce exacts a devastating effect on people, and worse, there's hurt that hurts the children. Could you be a big brother or a big sister, such a one? Could you build a relationship with a said child as to provide comfort and guidance and good example that might point that youngster to heaven? Say, but I'm busy. Yes, I know. We're all busy. There are many shallow things to do, and somebody has to do them, right? But maybe you need to raise your eyes a bit and look out across the waves of the miles of deep water that God is calling us to. And then lastly, I want us to look, we can also put out into deep water in our concern for the lost, concern for lost people. See, personal evangelism has fallen on hard times these days. Few want to learn how to do it, and fewer actually do it. Yet countless people still depart from earth as for a crisis attorney every day simply because no one cared enough to interrupt them, to talk to them about their souls. I'm told a story about a man who went to do a revival. And every year, this revival, this preacher would take the evangelist that came to preach to this lady's home. And every year they go in and he says, before I get there, I'm going to tell you, this lady is mean. And she's crabby. And she don't really like many people. And he says, but okay, that's okay, we'll go. And they go there, and so they sit there, and they talk, and she's being kind of rough with them. You want something to drink? You want some coffee? I'll go get you coffee. So goes through this whole thing. Finally, the evangelist looked at her and says, do you know Jesus? She says, what? He said, do you know Jesus? So he began to explain to her about Jesus. And then he asked her this question. Do you want to accept Jesus? You know what she said? No one has ever asked me if I wanted to accept Jesus. All the people came and visited with her, and they all came to her house, and they all left there disgusted and disgruntled with her. But no one ever told her about Jesus. There are people all around us that want to know about God. Next Sunday, we're going to have Back to Church Sunday, and this is an event all across the nation. And it's an ideal. There's going to be advertisements put out there. There's websites out there for people and telling them that we're having a special service. But each one of us need to look around us. Look at our friends, our relatives, people. Maybe they don't go to church. Maybe they're totally opposed to church. But maybe you just need to ask them to come with you next Sunday. Come to church. Come be with us. Come celebrate with us. And you just don't know. And you never know if you never ask. So we need to have a compassion. We need to move out in the deeper waters in our concern for lost people. And maybe somebody just needs the invitation. Maybe we just need to invite them. Peter put out into the deep water, and his life was never the same again. Maybe you've come to that point in your life where you're tired of living only in the shallows. Maybe some in here that you've gone through life and you think there's much more to life than what I've been living. And maybe there's some here this morning that need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You haven't accepted Him. You haven't become a follower of Him. You have not made Him Lord. You know, becoming a Christian is much more going through a few little steps. Becoming a Christian means you have decided to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You are going to surrender to Him. You're going to make Him your King. And when you do that, you want to do what He asks you to do. And He asks you to confess Him. And He asks you to repent of your sins. He asks you to be baptized, go down the watery grave of baptism so that your sins can be washed away. And the gift of the Holy Spirit can live within your life. And maybe there's some here this morning that need to accept Jesus as your Lord. And maybe there's others here this morning, and probably most of us in this room, that just need to get out of the shallows. We need to move out into the deeper waters. If you are already a Christian and have already started, perhaps something deeper yet is calling you, will you respond to it here this morning, or will you ignore it? It's a story told about a man who one night decided he was going to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and he submitted to Him. And then all of a sudden, Jesus came to him and He said, I have something I want you to do. This is what I want you to do with your life. I want you to go out and I want you to work with all your might against that big rock that's in front of your cabin. And the man said, okay. And he did that day after day. For many years, the man told from sun up to sun down, his soldiers sat squarely against that cold, massive sacrifice of that sacrifice and everything he had, pushing against that big rock with all of his might. Each night, he would return home and he was discouraged because he didn't move that rock. He spent all of his day in vain. Seeing that the man was becoming discouraged, Satan came to him and he began to whisper in his ear, taunting him. He says, you have been pushing against that rock for so long, and it hasn't even budged. Why kill yourself over this? You are never going to move it. And the man became discouraged, and he started listening to it, and he started reasoning in his own mind, why kill myself over this? From now on, I'm just going to put in just the minimum of what I need to do. Just the very minimum. And that will just have to be good enough. One day, the man became so discouraged, he finally went to God in prayer, and he said, Lord, I have labored long and hard in your service, putting all my strength to do what you want me to do, everything you ask, yet after all this time, I haven't even budged the rock the tiniest bit. What is wrong? Why am I failing? To this, the Lord responded to him compassionately. He said, my friend, when long ago I asked you to serve me and you accepted, I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all your strength, with all that you have done. And you have done that very thing. Never once did I mention that I expected you to move it. Your task was to push. And now you have come to me, your strength spent, thinking that you have failed. But is that really so? Look at yourself. Your arms are muscled. Your back is brown. Your hands are calloused from constant pressure. Your legs have become massive and hard. Though through opposition, you have grown strong. Your abilities now surpass those in which you have started this pushing. No, you haven't moved the rock, but your calling was to be obedient, to push, and to exercise your faith and trust in my wisdom. This you have done, and now I, my friend, I will move the rock. My friends, in our lives, God is asking us to do things. And sometimes he's asking us to move out of our comfort zone, to move out into those deeper waters. And you know, he didn't say we had to evangelize. He didn't say we had to save everyone in the world by our own strength. He says, just go. So much in our lives we think we need to accomplish, but we need to rely on God. And he is faithful. And he is the one that brings people to salvation. He is the one that provides growth. We need to depend on him. He just asks each and every one of us in this room to be faithful. My friends, here this morning, we're going to sing an invitation to him. We're going to sing Hungry. And this song is talking about submission and obedience and giving to God, and that we come to him because we are hungry to have a relationship with him. This morning, if you need to accept him as your Lord, maybe there's some here this morning that you make changes in your life. If it's the one that you need to make public, I ask you this morning to come as we sing this song. Maybe there's others need prayer. Maybe there's a decision you need to make about your life from right where you're standing. Whatever it is, we ask you to come as we stand and sing. Please stand with me.